Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're joining us for episode 626 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This week, we're bringing to you our 142nd Weekender, so you'll hear all about what we've been doing in our lives, along with discussions centered around our topic, and a quick trip through some hedonistic exploits. But before we get into that, we should introduce ourselves. For our silent key Russ, K52X, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD. And yes, welcome back, everyone. We're glad to get back here on schedule with our Weekender. I know we've had a couple of featured topic episodes that have taken priority in the schedule. But now that we're back here, we have an interesting topic wheel, which we'll get to here shortly. Until then, let's figure out what we've done this week. What you've been busy with, Cheryl?
Oh, trying to avoid the heat. Food-wise, dinner has been things like cereal, yogurt, sandwiches, anything that requires absolutely no heat in the house for cooking. Although I have thrown a couple of minor microwave cooking episodes in there. Computer-wise, usual bills, probate. And I've been spending time finalizing things I need to get for Russ's memorial party, which is still a couple of months away. Radios, they're still sitting in Russ's shack ready to go, but I'm not ready to go right now. And that's weather and everything else. Otherwise, I've been sick for about 3 weeks, and I learned on Wednesday that I have cyclosporiasis, which I'm assuming came from the bagged lettuce that I picked up at the local Walmart a week or 10 days before Bill was here. And I was sick while Bill was here. I did my best to not be, but that didn't help. The heat has been overwhelming. Our daily real field temperatures with the actual heat, which has exceeded 100 degrees every single day, and our insane summer humidity levels in Missouri, so we're averaging around 115. And the air conditioning in the house has been struggling to keep things below 80. And currently, it is 83 degrees in my house, and I don't think the air is shut off in like 3 days. Otherwise, property improvements are happening. Bill's been getting picture updates fairly often, and things are slowly getting better regarding that. Ants did manage to short out the switch for our well pressure tank, so there were a couple hours of no water, and you never know how much you appreciate it until you don't have it. And sadly, there was a weekend service fee tagged to that bill. So I just wish Russ hadn't procrastinated quite as bad to the, as he did on everything, including keeping ant killer stocked up in the well. It's taking forever to get things cleaned up, but the improvement is worth the wait, I guess. Not sure about the expense, though. What's Bill been up to?
What have I been up to? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
How did you manage that?
Yeah. It seems like I've been busy. Lots of work stuff as usual. Always clouding my judgment and time. I just started rehearsals this evening for the opera or the operetta that I'm directing at the theater that I'm the board president of, called HMS Pinafore. I'm pretty sure I mentioned it previously, but we started the rehearsal process tonight. We had, I believe, everybody actually showed up but one person, so I'm pretty happy. It wasn't a principal either, so it's fine. I'm gonna survive. And we did a quick run through, sing through, and it's always kind of interesting to do that early on because you can see if anybody's actually looked at the music or not, because it gets really quiet when it comes to their part singing, and you're like, okay, where is this? And I've been looking. I've cheated, right? I've been looking at this stuff for like the last year because I'm the one that pitched the show as wanting to do it, So, you know, here I am kind of singing the parts and stuff like that when it gets too quiet, just in case people are not, you know, wanting to catch up or something like that. But no, it's always fun though. So we'll start our real dig into the grind and make sure everybody's comfortable with what their parts are here starting tomorrow night and move on from there. So I have to just remember that after this podcast recording, I have to send out the cast an email that reminds them of the schedule that we all agreed to literally about 45 minutes ago.
They're going to swear you didn't agree to it. So,
yeah, exactly. And I sent them all the call list on the show, and it's like, yeah, you know, some of this is a lot of overlap for you guys. So, you know, the more work you put in at home, the less work we have to do while we do rehearsals. So then I don't have to have you here four nights a week. I'd much rather be three nights a week. So it's all up to what effort you put into things. So we'll see how willing participants they are to come along in this journey. Without much kicking and screaming and stuff like that. But they all sounded really good though. So at least that's a plus. They were the stuff that they did sing, they sounded good at. So we just got to get them locked into the individual parts and pieces and get that going. And yes, so that's my nerdy thing that I do when I'm not recording podcasts or not playing ham radio stuff. And speaking of ham radio stuff, yeah. I can see about 70% of the floor of my garage right now, which is a huge improvement because it was about like 15% that I could see yesterday. So today, wow. I spent most of the morning while my grandkids were out chalking the front yard, you know, playing around with the sidewalk chalk in the front driveway, cleaning up from Hamvention and the EGR delete in the truck and everything else. So I'm almost to this side of the garage where I'm recording, where I will take advantage of moving stuff. So I'm kind of excited that I got finally that part started to where now I have staging areas for moving stuff out of here and rearranging this and then moving stuff back into this little hellhole corner that is my recording studio in Ham Shack. So so that's basically it. I know that's a lot more than nothing, obviously. But I'm excited to get into this a topic wheel. I have decided to call an audible on this one and say we are not going to do our random topic wheel. I did find a random post on Reddit that I thought was quite humorous that I thought – content-wise and contextually-wise, it made sense to kind of talk about this as a topic because I was interested in looking at some software because there's so much of it being pushed out there. So without further ado, no spinner wheel. Here's the topic that I have chose that we're going to talk about. And at first, I have to give you the entire post to get the context of stuff. It is a meme post. It's flagged meme. So just so you know, it is meant to be ludicrous and funny all at once. So here's the title. Introducing Ham World Spectrum Tools Tracker, a new site to keep track of all the new to-do-it-all ham radio programs. I mean, it's already got a winning title. I mean, I'm sold. I want to see this so much. Quote. and the rest of this is all quoted. I'll try to separate my humorisms with it, but here we go. I got tired of keeping six or seven tabs open, so I'm getting ready to release my new project, Ham World Spectrum Tools Tracker. At the low cost of 3,800 gallons of drinking water, 7 megawatts of power, and a few short weeks of sleeping on the couch with my dignity. Oh, and my dignity. I have unleashed the power of the ideas guy's best friend, and I'm here to share it with you all. We've all been there. 48 hours has passed since you load up r/amateur radio. You're overwhelmed. There are 4 new software packages and websites that have been released since you slept last. They all are going to be the last ham radio program you ever need. They do logging, POTA, spotting, cat control, antenna design, QSL card layout, resistor color codes, propagation forecast, 6 different ways to visualize Morse code, and a bunch of 4K 60 video clips reminding you which jack on the back of your ICOM 746 is the CIV port and which one's the external speaker. You sit there scratching your head. Which horse do you hitch your wagon to? They all sound perfect. Wonder no more. Ham World Spectrum Tools Tracker will remain a constantly updated repository of these 900 identical vibe-coded tumbleweeds of JavaScript and CSS, with sorting categories such as, does it use that one UI package, currently hard-coded to yes, software posters, a Reddit account age and history, probably hidden, but we try, a carefully designed AI model of how long their support will last until they get bored of it and stop working GitHub page reports or GitHub bug reports, which features are paywalled behind some annual subscription that will definitely be available for renewal in 11 months and 29 days, which LLM the author bragged about using, and an estimated time to call you a Luddite and say you're the reason this hobby's stuck in a stone age if you say something or say anything negative, countdown clock for each package author. And we're here not just to help customers, we're here to help authors. Any person who spent 48 hours arguing with Copilot to get their software to compile is eligible for our first 5-star subscription. For only $9.99 a month, or $99.99 a year, payable via Visa, MasterCard, crypto, or DDR4 RAM sticks, we will shit-can all negative reviews, turf the comments section with a bunch of, quote, it's not just the most comprehensive software, it's perfect, end quote. Posts definitely written by humans. Keep your GitHub history busy and fake 5 to 10 pull requests a day so you don't have to burn Claude tokens doing boring shit like refactoring and fixing bugs where it transmits SSTV porn on HFGCS frequencies. And help you achieve your dreams of earning rent on a software package built on a code base you know nothing about. We know coding is for suckers. You're an ideas guy, and we love that. If you're interested, you may sign up for the version 0.0.73 beta here at https://ab72nfs231-us-east-amazon-web-services. Oh, hang on. ChatGPT just ran out of tokens. I'll update the post with the real link once I pawn my wife's pearls to re-up. and that's the post. This post gave me such joy such joy. You almost wonder. The post itself is probably also coded via one of your favorite tools,
right?
But I mean, I get the point. Cheryl, let's go to you directly on this one. Because it is about our favorite friends, Claude, and their buddies, Copilot, and whatever, all the Gemini and all the other ones are called, right. And solving all of the world's problems, and not to diminish any authors doing work using AI tools and stuff like that, because we know it's out there, and it's pretty much in everybody's tool stack these days.
But
what do you think about some of these? I mean, we've kind of looked at some stuff. I mean, not so recently, I guess. I mean, we could say that there is elements of AI in several of the software stacks that we've looked at recently, including things like, now I'm drawing blanks.
Well, there's like Oscar Watch and stuff like that. Is that what you're referring to?
There's some in there for sure. I mean, Peter is an actual software developer, much like our last guest on here, KI2D, Sebastian. He's a developer as well. But you know, we're all using these tools. We know, but like in the hands of somebody who's solving problems for other people, or for themselves, and then generating tool packages out there. I'm kind of thinking of maybe they're ones we haven't talked about yet. I've definitely bookmarked them, like Nexus is I think one of those. There's the SDR app. I know I mentioned it. SDR. So now I'm Now I am drawing a blank. Anyway, why don't you talk about AI slop and your feelings about it, and I will do some research real quick.
Okay, do some research. So Russ actually used AI to make a food database, because obviously I can't get, or couldn't until recently, get to our deep freezes and stuff. So I was constantly buying groceries that we didn't need to buy because we already had them. So Russ actually created a food database that keeps an inventory of refrigerator and cabinets and everything. And I believe Steve, KJ5T, may also be using it. And Russ did add things like gluten-free tags and things like that, which was cool. I use AI for graphic stuff. And Russ also did a lot of AI stuff for LHS images for the podcast when he published them. But yeah, I use AI images for various things. So yes, while I understand that AI is not the greatest thing in the world, there is room for it. I personally think people go a little overboard with it, doing some things in a not positive fashion, you know. But I guess my thought on AI is there is a use for it, to maybe, like, for instance, Russ needed help debugging the food database, and used Claude a lot to do that. And there's still some buggy issues that I need build work on. But yeah, so it has its spot. It saves a lot of time. So, you know, because if Russ had actually sat down to do the food database, which he had started years ago, but he would get involved in it and then quit, and then get involved in it and quit. Luckily, with the use of Claude, he actually got involved with it and stayed involved until he got it 99% done. So,
yeah, I think that's a valid use case, because obviously, I mean, although Russ was a developer of some sort.
Right. Yeah.
definitely had been, doing PHP work and definitely shell scripting and stuff like that. So very familiar with the systems engineering side of stuff. He was definitely augmenting his ability to program and solve and create something from an idea using the tools, which is literally what they're there for, right? When we're going to build something, it's kind of, we're trying to build a solution for it. And I'm not discounting anybody's use of these type of technologies for it. However, I think what the author of this fancy article, which was Steven Neuville, I'm sure that might be a burner account. I don't know. He's got lots of karma, so probably one of the accounts they really use. I think he's getting at these applications, like I was kind of mentioning the Nexus. So I guess let me give some context here, since you're probably not aware of these. Nexus is the modern operating workstation for amateur radio. It's listed on their webpage here, which is hamradiotools.io. And I'll just put it in the chat for people to easily go to. This is probably one of the things it's literally mentioning, because one program instead of six. Most stations run a decoder, a logger, a mapper, a loader, and a pan adapter, each with its own settings, its own copy of your log, all fighting to over one COM port, blah, 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 blah. Well, in my experience as a developer for the last 30 plus years, I guess, when I see these applications, which are really cool, and I'm going to try this, and I'll probably do a video on it too, to try it out on a system that I don't care about, so a throwaway system. Seeing that it's built in Rust, A, tells me the author probably is not very good at Rust, which means none of this code is checked for any kind of validity. beyond compilation and it doing what it says it does and using it. And the other application I was thinking of when I saw this too was the SDR Oxide, which is almost a build as the same kind of thing, solving many, many problems all at once. And again, guess what it's written in? Rust. Why? Because it's known as a memory-safe language and blah-bitty-blah-bitty, and it's fast, it's performant. And if you have to wait for the compiler, you'll be making many sandwiches while waiting for the compiler to build it out, because the compilation and debugging does take a bit of effort on the computer side to actually build these tiny binaries and stuff like that. But they don't inspire a lot of confidence. And I think the argument here is that the person who's doing these kind of applications is unlike a normal, is it normal the right word? Let's say that most open source developers, if these are open source, and I think one of them is and one of them isn't, are building software. You generally are building software to solve a problem that you have yourself first, because that's sort of what we do. Because if we're not getting paid to do it to begin with, we're sure not putting software out there for anybody's free will, unless, well, you're independently wealthy and don't really care about making any money, and you just care about the spirit of the hobby and stuff like that. So solving a bunch of problems with one tool is probably not solving everybody's problem. But like maybe some people are turned on by this, but it is getting a bit high in frequency. And I think that was the other aspect of the article that kind of pushed me. It's like every time I go through Y Combinator or what people know as Hacker News and stuff like that, the plethora of new releases of stuff is excessive. And then when you're looking through our amateur radio or looking through Reddit every day, something new is released. And it's there to solve every problem instead of really focusing in on making the things that are causing the problems be less apparent. And I think we're solving, you know, our hammer and nail problem with just a new hammer and nail. It's like, these fit together better. That's still going to probably break, because at some point it will just fall off the rails. It'll have hardware compatibility issues. It'll have some other kind of random issue that maybe won't be nuanced by the tool unless it has enough context within the next prompt to create a pull request to fix that particular issue, which may be very germane to somebody's system or a particular CPU build or something to that effect. But I think flooding the market with all of this stuff is probably a smidge on the unhealthy side. I mean, what do you think, Cheryl?
No, I definitely agree. You know, it seems like, I guess maybe in a sense, you know, for instance, you create a program, people like it, but they want X. They think X thing would be a better addition to it. So instead of asking you to do, could you add X to it? No, they just go out and create their own. So then we have all kinds of just kind of a mumbo jumbo mess. That, you know, there's not just one program that handles it. There's 87 different programs that essentially do the same thing that aren't really necessary. And it gets confusing and overwhelming and stupid.
Yeah. And I agree here with Steve points out in the chat room. He says, I agree. Basically, the issue we already have of everyone building their own tools multiplied. I have to admit being part of the problem. Yeah. But then again, none of my stuff I care about anybody uses, and I don't really advertise. Yeah. Right. And I think that's a perfectly valid point. You know, like I would look, we've been looking at GitHub, searching just GitHub on people's projects that probably they never ever have any intent of sharing or anything else like that for years. Literally, that's been my shtick, right? The GitHub dumpster diving.
Yeah.
Like that's been my shtick for 10 years on the podcast, people. We look for people making commits against software that they know nobody's ever going to look at because it's their own little pet project and everything else. And I think people have are kind of getting, I don't like using the term, but getting over skis a bit on this stuff. And like, oh, this is the greatest. I've solved every problem. You can just delete, you know, all the softwares in the world. And, you know, this will definitely solve all your problems.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's the kind of the indication or the context that we're getting from these kind of projects that do say, well, we wanted to solve every problem. And here's this great little thing. And please install it on your computer with root privileges. So all the things I didn't think about will...
we'll go in and fix later.
Yeah, well, no, we'll just take over your computer and steal your credit card and everything else. And I'm not saying this will. Not saying it will, but, in full disclosure, I use AI every day at work. Every day. Every day. All day. Every day. I have, I have an enterprise account and I can burn way more tokens than probably these people have seen. And I try to use that for good, not for evil. I will say that I have witnessed and reviewed thousands upon thousands of lines of changes that would not get approved, that did not get approved from a very competent AI development team, fully, multi-jobbed and multi-skilled and multi-threaded. And, they do screw up. They screw up lots. And that's sort of beside the fact. But I think people... And again, it's not preaching here or anything else like that, but you just need to find a lane and stay in it, I guess. I don't even know what makes sense anymore. It's kind of a really confusing predicament that we're in, where we give people the power to do something that they have absolutely no idea what
they're doing.
What's in the black box. It's almost like we've given people the black box builder. Like the thing we've always talked about is this proverbial black box of stuff where it's like you push input into it and you get this magical output. You really don't know how that output gets there, but you know, if you put this input in, you get that output. And that's sort of what we're giving people the tools for now, is to do that same thing. Here's my input. Here's what I am expecting the user to give you. Make it work this way. And then there's not really an idea or a connotation of understanding of exactly how it got to the end. And maybe that is the new normal, is that even our code and our projects that we share with people are meant to be black boxes that we don't really care whether we understand it or not. We just know that it does a certain task given a certain input. And
but there's a problem with that.
What's the problem?
Well, okay. Most like you and Steve and Russ and, the people that have actually started using AI to create things actually have a little bit of background, just a little bit, at the minimum in programming. And building things like that. That would be like me going, I'm gonna design my own logging program and sit down with Claude and say, okay, let's go.
You could how though.
I could.
You absolutely could.
Yeah, but how badly is it going to turn out? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I might have a thought of what I want, but how badly is it gonna turn out in the end? because I don't understand how it's coming up with X result. So,
well, but you would just know that it got the result you wanted. Like, would you care much about how it got there?
Well, yes and no, because if for some reason everything goes up in a ball of flames, I'd like to be able to understand why it did that instead of going back to Claude and going, okay, fix what just blew up. You know, I'd like to be able to go, oh, yeah, I see there's a problem with X line, and that's the reason why what happened. Instead of going, I have no clue. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, in AI's defense, it will do that, and it will tell you how it got to where it got.
Right. No, and I know. So.
So if you were questioning it, it could get there.
Yeah, but I think in the end, you kind of need to know a little bit about what you're doing before you just jump off the deep end and say, "I'm going to create a new logging program." Or
I think
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you want to write a logging program, write a logging program. If you want to write Nexus to try to solve every problem in the world for your shack, write it. Do it. Why not? I mean, you can. I mean, that's the whole point of these kind of tools. Whether that is a business model or whether you should flood people with those kind of things I don't know if it's the problem of the software itself, the existence of it, or the fact that the amount of it is so much now.
See, that's the thing. If I was just writing a logging program for me to use, great, fine.
Yeah.
But when I throw that program out on GitHub, and there's already 93 zillion that exist, it becomes extremely overwhelming.
But you're writing the best. You're writing the best, Cheryl.
Of course I'm not.
Yours is the absolute best. You have figured everything out.
Now. Yeah.
You and your buddy Claude have been, shooting shots of Jägermeister and Red Bull all night, and you've been solving the world's problems.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's, and again, there's nothing wrong with using AI to create things like that, but there needs to be some sort of limit.
I don't think we could solve any of this because I don't think we could stop a limit or anything else like that. I think the perception, I think this is an essay in perception, and the perception right now is that there is too many things being thrown at the wall, and I mean, maybe some of it's sticking, but the fact is like the stuff is being thrown on top of the other thing, on top of the other thing, on top of the other thing, and us as the perhaps the consumer or the users of this plethora of software that's kind of coming out at high velocity are having an inability to actually consume it at any length. I almost need to spin up a bot to watch, the R amateur radio. And for me, I watch Linux audio, and that's just as bad as well. and other Reddit threads that have so much stuff coming out and being released on a daily basis that I almost need a summary and to go do code reviews on everything before I would even consider, like, I don't even want to link or I don't even want to know about this person's software until I've had my own set of bots go through and vet it against everything else and look who's posted it, look who's talking about it, look at the code quality, look at code commits, see how many people are invested in the project, how many people are maintaining the project. There's so many things and variables that kind of need to be watched especially when you're working with an open source project that, you as a user, as a pure user, you don't really care. you don't care about code commits. You don't care about that stuff. You just care about, like, does it solve my problem X? And in most cases, it probably does solve problem X. But can you be assured that you don't have something going on? I mean, I just got an email today from our ham radio about ham radio outlet about their credit card processing perhaps maybe having some issues, or people experiencing issues. We have very delicate systems out there that we tend to put lots of our personal information on, and yeah. So let's see here. Mike in the chat room is saying the barrier to entry is so low, slop dev has no vested interest and then abandons the project not knowing how to proceed. Project not knowing how to proceed. Yeah. 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 Once you get to a certain point, right? You're like, oh, I resolved my problems and I've created my business and I'm now charging people. and I'm using SourceForge. Oh my God, don't use SourceForge. Anyway, that's just my personal pet peeve. I found it funny. I'm not gonna diss anybody's software. I'm gonna try out the stuff that I see when I have time to see it. Hopefully it won't be abandoned by the time I get around to it, because, you know, I'm just so on top of looking at things. Let me just look at some of the comments of this. Comments on this post. The top comment so far is quality fecal posting, 10 out of 10. Yeah. Let's see. I just came so close to reflexively downvoting this. Well done. Let's see what the SP2ASO says. Sad thing for me is I have an app concept for a year or two, even a spec written. Started writing it recently and discovered this big river of pure AI slops. Sigh. Maybe I will just do my best for myself. And that might be a great message to stop on. Perhaps that is the right move. Maybe you should just do it for yourself and solve your own problems. And if you get enough traction out of it yourself, maybe share it with some friends first, and then maybe post it into the interwebs announcement lists of how special what you've done is, and save us all some headaches having our bots having to go through your posts and filter them out because there's too many. new stuff. with the AI taking hits from everywhere else, I know as somebody who's involved in public theater and community theater, like, we have people that hate AI used in any kind of artwork and stuff like that, and it's all visible and people hate it, and unfortunately it too is like everywhere and anywhere because it's easy. Easy and simple. And I know I can go into Canva because I use Canva for all of our posters and everything else. And I can go through and generate stuff all the time. All the time you can do that. And I do not generate anything. And in fact, I try to use photographs. And I try to use filters on photographs to try to make it look cool for what I want it to. So most of our posters, well, actually all of our posters are not AI generated at all. They're build generated with a selection of stuff like that. But I know, there's a sector of the population that is definitely against all this. They're the same people that are probably against data centers in general and just the thought of those. And surprisingly, it's not the same people that are upset about RAM prices and systems prices for those of you building home labs and can't afford that RAM anymore, or trying to buy a new laptop and you can't afford it because the RAM is too expensive. Those people don't realize they hate it even more than those people that just hate seeing the stupid AI designed posters because it is affecting you tremendously. And yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting time that we live in, and I thought this was a kind of a funny meme / important kind of random topic to talk about in general. Because it's very relevant. It's affecting us on a daily basis, and whether you got the original article that I read out, the meme article, that even tracked with you at all or not, I think you kind of get the gist of what we're talking about here. Let's just try to maintain our sanity through it all. I think that's where I'm going to stop.
That's all we can do. So,
well, now that we're out through the topic wheel, let's head on to this weekend in hedonism. And Cheryl has an amazing recipe. So we can try to dissolve our brains away from this AI thing. And I'm going to ask AI what is the best chicken zucchini casserole I can make? And it better be
there. Cheryl. You go. There you go. So, yeah, it's, you know, summer is the time to use up all those garden fresh veggies. And this is something super easy, so you don't have to spend a lot of time slaving over a hot stove. And it is for chicken zucchini casserole. And it uses boxed stuffing mix, like stovetop, some butter, some zucchini. And you can use fresh or frozen, depending on what you've got available. Some boneless, skinless chicken breast, cooked and diced up into small pieces. Some shredded mozzarella, some cream of chicken soup, onion and sour cream, and the recipe, you know, information will be in the show notes. So, and if you don't want to cut up a chicken, go grab a rotisserie chicken from the deli. So, because it'd be really good. But for my mixed drink corner, sticking with the whole summer thing, I picked a cucumber margarita. So, for that, you need salt, some cucumber infused vodka. Or you can skip that and just muddle some cucumber in your tequila, some lime juice, some triple sec, and some cucumbers. So, and again, you know, super quick, super easy, super yummy. So, and there's some show notes here. You don't want to infuse your tequila and things, so definitely follow those. And skipping Russ's drink corner this week because it is far too hot to be drinking whiskey. So,
and what should I talk about? I mentioned, because you were talking about the fresh garden veggies and stuff like that, using them for everything that you have in your garden. So, we had my grandkids were here this weekend, and they picked some tomatoes that we had in the front yard. They also picked some jalapenos and one radish.
lowly little radish.
I will say the radish did not get used because I was making spaghetti sauce, and I'm like, well, you know, I could take these tomatoes, I'll just chop them up and kind of saute them down and use them in sort of the sauce, you know, because I already gonna use canned sauce, whatever. So so that's what I did. I actually used our fresh garden veggies. I washed them all, chopped them all up, diced them really nicely. Same thing with the jalapenos that went into the spaghetti sauce. So yeah, we do like a little spicy spaghetti sauce. And it's always weird to have a weird pepper in there too, instead of like crushed red peppers. I used to throw in Scotch bonnets into spaghetti sauce. That would really screw people up.
Oh, yeah.
Until like one day I had so much of the Scotch bonnet oil on my hands, I literally burned everything in my house. It was like, it was me, my face, my arms, my hands, everything I touched. I was like, oh, I should not have touched these Scotch bonnets. But it did make the spiciest damn spaghetti I've ever eaten in my life, and I ate it all. So
nice.
But anyway, yeah. So, you can always augment your canned stuff with some fresh stuff, and you get a kind of interesting flavor. At least I kind of like that. So drink wise, you know, I am doing a Diet Coke, and I believe one of the Head Frame Spirits bourbons I'm doing. I think it's the single malt I've talked about. It's not the Never Sweat. It's the other one. So that's pretty good. I did, like I mentioned before, since we're on finally on a weekender, right before Boy Scout camp, I went to Sam's and picked up a bottle of Buchanan's scotch, right? Is that scotch? That's right. Buchanan's scotch. Is that like a 12-year scotch?
I think so. Because you got the specific one, right?
Yeah, I got the, well, mine was the FIFA whatever. The
right.
The FIFA thing. I think it's the deluxe, right? FIFA deluxe. It's the deluxe. It's 12-year, but blended scotch that I believe they had in that. So, and great. It tasted great. I liked it. I keep calling it something different than Buchanan's every time I mention it to somebody. Like it's Duckins or Duckanon. I keep wanting to start with a D for some reason. I have no idea why I want to do that.
Interesting.
But
yeah, the World Cup edition is a 12-year. So
yeah. So it's surprisingly good. I'm not a purveyor of many scotches. But this one is, non-offensive in every way. Like there's nothing that says I don't like it. Like, you know, it's got a little smoke. It's got a little bit of that, that scotchy taste, that band-aid-y taste, but nothing like too much and it's not too watered down. I'm really surprised that for such a cheap bottle of scotch that like, it's pretty good.
Because it's showing $39.99.
Yeah, it was super cheap. It was like it was probably like $35 when I bought it at in West Virginia.
Nice,
pretty close to that. It was pretty cheap, and I'm like, well, I can't really pass up a FIFA bottle, FIFA labeled cup of Buchanan. So, and I always kind of wanted to try it, and very good. If you could find it, it's probably, if you got booze in your Sam's Club or your Costco's, it probably has Buchanan's. And if you haven't tried a scotch and you want something that's not too scary, not too smoky, not too band-aid-y, not too anything, like it's a pretty decent scotch. Like I'm going to finish that bottle for sure. And I have Highland Park 12 as well. And I'd probably take me a while to finish that. And Highland Park, I think, is pretty good too. But like this is slightly better because it's not quite as on one of those edges, you know, where it's like, well, you know, Highland Park 12's it's a bit more smoky. And at least for my palate, I kind of like the Buchanan's. It's quite nice. Anyway, that's me in a nutshell. It's quite nice. Yeah, that's me. Just quite nice. So let's get on down to our announcements and feedback. So Cheryl, take it away.
All righty then. So as usual, we need help supporting the show. You can support us via Patreon, PayPal, buy some merch. You can share the podcast via social media, rate us in the podcast application. And you can also share our Facebook page with your friends along with Instagram and everything else. We need your feedback, comments, questions, show topic ideas. Email us at info@lhspodcast.info. Memorial service for Russ, K52UX, will be held at our home in Mount Vernon, Missouri on November 1st. Everyone hearing this is welcome to join us. So if you'd like more information, send it to the info@lhspodcast.info website, our email address, or stop by our Facebook event page, and that information will be in the show notes. And we have a little bit of feedback. YouTube comment. Yeah, you want to do it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'll just go ahead and answer it, too. Yeah, the YouTube comment from on episode 621 from Paul Griffith. I believe he's commented on other of our YouTube videos, which is not really a video. It's actually just the episode 621. Would you run this on a Pi Zero? So this was the Oscar Watch video. You didn't say how much memory it took to run Oscar Watch. So would it run on a Pi Zero? Probably not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would say no.
I mean, a Pi Zero, really? I mean, a Pi 4, probably no problem. If you're just doing more than one satellite, yeah, whatever. There's ARM 64 builds. So for sure, anything that's ARM 64 capable, you can definitely run this on. Pi Zero, I can't think of a single reason why you would even use a Pi Zero to do satellite tracking. Yeah, Paul, that's a really weird question. Why is it because you don't have any more pies and all you have is Pi Zeros? Talk to us, man. I just need to know. That seems like, let me put it in the smallest box possible and I want it to work. No, I'm going to just say no. I mean, it probably would run, but I'm just going to say no. I mean, Pi Zeros are meant for headless activities anyway. So why would you have a GUI app running on it? I don't get it. So hopefully that pisses off enough people to send us some feedback, and we'd like more at info@lhspodcast.info. And
yeah, yes, there you go.
Cheryl and I both receive those emails instantly, so you get instant gratification if we actually respond. So
there you go.
Yes, please do. So, Cheryl, let's see who's joined us on the socials this month, or this week.
This week, yeah. On this this week, we had Eric Baber, W-A-W-E-B, on Facebook. On Twitter, we had @SlowDancer, DanceRT. On Discord, we had Forrest, KD2MZH, Layla, and John, W0NSX. And our live show participants this week were Steve, KJ5T, and Mike, K6GTE.
And as I was talking to Cheryl, before we started hitting the record button, we will have a slight adjustment to the live recording for next week. So just be on our Discord to find those new dates. Cheryl will most likely post it on the Facebook page when we decide to do it, or if we decide to do it on a whim, like right now. we won't. So the best thing for you to do is to join our Discord and ensure that you are watching us. We record live only on Discord in our live show channel. We do not push it anywhere else. And then the podcast gets published within 24 hours of recording. So please join us in our Discord channel, and you can find those links on our website. And yeah. I don't think we have any other comments in from the chat gallery. Oh, somebody is talking here. So Steve made a comment here. Let's see. He made some homemade sauce a couple of times, and the amount of tomatoes it takes is insane. Good idea of mixing the jar can with it. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I've done homemade sauce. Yeah, it is a pain in the butt. You need big can when you're doing that. That's like, you know, the one that's as big as your head. That's what you start with.
I do a lot of doctoring of things as well. So,
and Steve says he'll probably miss the live show in the next 2 weeks. You'll have some travel coming up. See you all in September or in Discord between the downtime. Yeah, we at least next week, because I'm taking my daughter to college, so I won't be around Sunday. I'll be actually in Helena. I don't feel like recording in the hotel, so I'm not going to bring my gear with me. But we'll probably be back on schedule the following week, because I'll just have rehearsals. We may be like delayed something. You might get used to having us being a few minutes late starting the podcast in the live channel. Kind of remind you reminisce of the good old days where we're at least an hour late.
Yeah.
Recording every night. I don't foresee that.
Steve actually mentioned that earlier too. Yeah. Oh, I like the good old days. Yeah.
Rehearsals end at 6 o'clock my time. And I just have to get back to my house by 7. So like 7 is when I actually record it in mountain time. So generally that should be fine. I don't foresee having a huge issue, because I do segment the show so we don't run late. I don't like being late. Now, if I say we're rehearsing for 2 hours, we're rehearsing for 2 hours, and that's it. I'm done. So I respect people's time, and I respect their talent, and I respect what they put into things. So it's best to do that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us live here, and we'll let Cheryl get us on out of here.
All right. So that brings us down to the end of our show. Thanks everyone for being here and supporting us by listening to episode 626. We'll catch you next time with our short topics episode. For us, K52X, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909 547 7469. That's 1909LHS Show. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.